The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
Bless the name of the Lord for this evening. And I'd like to congratulate all of us for being part of this year's program. I pray that the Lord will reach out to all of us as we come to His presence tonight in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father eternal, I ask that you minister to us in the next 45 minutes as we share your word, that you teach us and instruct us by yourself. And that word that you want us to learn, that you want us to hear, speak to our ears and give us understanding. At the end of the day, give us cause to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been asked to share with us on the subject of pursuit of excellence in Christian service. This is a very important subject for any Christian worker that desires to make an impact. Good soldiers of Christ who want to make their calling and election sure are not expected to be idle. We're going to consider the subject along the following lines. One, the call to excellence in Christian ministry, in Christian service. Then we ask ourselves, what is excellence in ministry? What is pursuit? What exactly are we discussing when we talk about Christian pursuit? And then we ask, why is excellence in ministry so important? Why should we serve God with excellence? And then what are the areas of excellence in Christian service? Finally, we look at how do we serve God with excellence? What are the steps to excellence in Christian service? And then our concluding remarks. Now, call to excellence. Every Christian has a calling to fulfill. If you're a true child of God, God has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to advance His kingdom. Every born again child of God is called to a ministry or ministries. It could be a pastor, it could be a teacher, it could be an evangelist, it could be an apostle, it could be a music and song minister, it could be an usher, it could be a sanctuary keeper, it could be a follow-up worker. There are many ministries in the kingdom, and they are not mutually exclusive. So it is possible you can be doing one or more of this, but definitely you have a talent or a gift that God has equipped you with to put to service for the advancement of His kingdom. There is something in you that God wants to use and wants to use it to for the purpose of moving His kingdom forward. Now, God strategically places His people all over the world, not only on pulpits, not only on mission fields, but in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our offices, in the marketplaces, in the banks, in our workplaces generally. And everywhere we are, our lives are supposed to advance the kingdom of God. That is why God has placed us there. But it is not enough to do the work of the ministry. It's not enough to heed the call. We must do it with the purpose of getting results. And with regards to results, it's not enough to get results. We must get the best results possible. So, and to get the best results possible, we need to put in the best efforts. Why? God wants us to excel in who we are and in what we do. Because who we are and what we do, we speak to the nature of His kingdom, particularly to those who are outside. So we need to ask ourselves regularly, if you are getting the best results possible in our areas of service, and if you are on the path to excellence in our ministry and what God is expecting of us. We must have that spiritual check on a regular basis. What am I doing? Am I fulfilling the purpose of God to the best of my abilities? Am I doing the best possible? And what we are saying in this, to succeed in the ministry, you must first heed the call. But it is not enough to heed the call. To be effective and fulfill God's purpose for the ministry, you need to go on the road to excellence. You must run the race, you must obtain the prize. The Christian race is not an Olympic game in which it is just to take part. No, the purpose is to win. And you are not competing with anybody for first, second, or third. All of us are competing to win the same prize, to win the prize of eternity with Christ. And I pray that all of us shall win ultimately in Jesus' name. So, we are speaking on what pursuit of excellence in Christian service. The question is, what is Christian pursuit? What is excellence when it comes to Christian service? Let's break it down. When we look at that topic, pursuit of excellence in Christian service, there's some key words. Pursuit, excellence. These are critical words in the work, that sentence. Pursuit is a noun, right? And it's from the verb pursue. It's from pursue. I'm sure we know that. And pursue means to follow, chase. So when we talk about pursuit, it's an action of pursuing someone or something. Thus, pursuit is an active word. It involves taking conscious steps. You don't pursue passively. You pursue when you are doing something. You are walking, you are moving. So when we're talking about Christian pursuit is a life that pursues God and godly things. Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy 6:11, asked Timothy, the man of God, to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Let's try and see. He says, well, you man of God, you should pursue what? Flee from all this and pursue righteousness. So we are not just to pursue righteousness, but we are also to flee from something. Flee from what we are not supposed to be doing. Flee from iniquity. Flee from things that can set you back and pursue righteousness. Whether you are fleeing or you are pursuing, you are on the move. So that is the essence of pursuit. Now, what this means is that the qualities of righteousness, the qualities of godliness, of peace, of gentleness, of endurance, of faith, will not jump on anybody. They must be pursued. They must be consciously cultivated. We have to consciously pursue them in order to make them part of our lives. Now, what is excellence? Of course, excellence in Christian ministry. The dictionary meaning of excellence is very simple. The quality of being outstanding or extremely good. Now, from a biblical perspective, being outstanding or extremely good is most applicable when it is seen as a pursuit of or abandoned in Christ-like virtue. That is, you are actively seeking to be like Jesus Christ in every sphere of your life and service. When we say we are pursuing excellence, excellence is in the context of trying to be like Christ, who is the most excellent himself. And we sing that song, that most excellency is Jesus. So try to relate to that. If Christ is the most excellent, then when you pursue excellence, you are pursuing being like Christ in your service to the kingdom. So pursuit of excellence in Christian service means to effectively steward the gifts and opportunities that God has given you to achieve the purpose of the calling and endowment. So when we talk about excellence in service, you are using what deposit God has placed in you to achieve the purpose he has committed into your hands. If you don't know what he has committed into your hands, that's the starting point to know what he wants you to do. But you then use your talents and gifts to achieve it. So there's a calling of God upon your life, and there's a purpose for the endowment of God upon. There's a calling of God upon your life, there's a gift of God in your life, and there's the reason the gift is there is to achieve that calling. So it is effective use and stewardship of these gifts and calling that brings glory to God. So let's ask ourselves, why is excellence important in ministry? Why should we serve God with excellence? Number one, our God that we are serving is exceedingly excellent in every way, and we should strive to be like our Father. When entoba bini lanjo. God's character is excellent. His word is excellent. Everything about him is excellent. And Ephesians 5:1 tells us, therefore, be imitators of God, their children. So, therefore, be imitators of God as their children. That's Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God as their children. So if you are truly a child of God, you're supposed to be his imitator. And if God is excellent, and we as his children are called to be imitators of him, then it only means we should strive to be excellent in everything we do. Number two, excellence stands above the rest and allows the gospel to speak loudly without embellishment. In the course of normal human interactions, in normal life, normal activities, excellence comes out clearly. When something is good, it is good. And you don't have to shout. You don't have to make noise. When you say somebody is good or something is good, it's always clear. And the same thing in Christian service. If it is done excellently, the gospel speaks loudly. In the Christian ministry, that spirit of excellence, when you pursue it, and you do it like that, it helps to project the gospel. It helps to project Christ in a way that you yourself don't have to do much. I mean, it speaks for itself. So when you are reaching for excellence, you are projecting Christ, you are speaking Christ, and you allow Christ, you allow the gospel to speak for itself. Number three, why serve God with excellence? Number three, there will be little progress without the pursuit of excellence. You cannot make much progress in life if you are not pursuing excellence. Many people, their lives are bland, they are ordinary, because they have not put in the extra effort. Without pursuing excellence, life itself is ordinary. Life is bland, things are challenging, people are unattractive. And it's the same thing in Christian service. I ask you to imagine being in a church, in any worship service, or in a particular church, where every Sunday, all that the choir sings, praise the Lord, or single, single. After some time, you get tired. So, and imagine when your Bible study leader on Wednesday or even on Sunday comes to your class and starts reading the outline to you without any evidence of additional preparation or anything, nothing to, you know, to motivate. And you ask yourself, well, me too, I can read this thing now. Me too, I understand English now. Yeah. Say, nah, I want to read that to me. So, if your Bible study teacher doesn't do much, doesn't put any addition to what, any quality addition to what is before everybody, what's the point? And you imagine the pastor coming to the pulpit, reading the sermon. Particularly, remember those days when the minister used to give us the sermon outlines. I mean, you are supposed to go back, you know, and if all you do is just to read it, then what kind of excellence is that? Or imagine being in a church for the first time. You know, you're a first-time worshiper, nobody, everybody ignores you, there's no welcome, there is nothing to show enthusiasm on the part of the members to receive you. How do you feel? You know, a couple of days ago, I was in the church for the first time. And it was obvious I was a new member. I was a new person in the church. It was obvious because everybody else is white. And I'm sure that it was a black face. So they know that this person is coming here for the first time. But for the first time in years that I'll go to a church for the first time, that was the only time nobody sang, "You are welcome in the name of the Lord." Nobody sang it for me. And I was wondering, do people welcome new visitors, new members in this church? What would be the motivation for me to go back? So imagine being in a worship service. Imagine your church being like that. Do you think you will attract people to the church? Everything we do, if we want to have progress, if you are complaining that our church is not growing, are we putting excellence into our service? Are we doing things beyond the ordinary? So if you want to make progress, then we must pursue excellence in our service, in every component of our church activities. Our sanctuaries must be clean, our ushers must be friendly, our teachers must be outstanding, our music must be inviting. So if we don't have them like that, it's not likely that we'll progress. It's not likely that we'll be in the church. Number four, why serve God with excellence? God is keeping records. Oh, God is keeping records. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, when Christ was speaking to the churches, Laodicea, Sardis, Smyrna, Philadelphia, all of them, there was a common phrase, say, I know your works. I know your works. It's not guessing. God knows the quality of our works. He knows the quality of the things we are doing. And if he knows our works, it means that the reward or the punishment that awaits will be commensurate with the kind of thing that we are doing. If we are doing it with excellence, God knows. If you are doing it to mediocrity, God knows. If you are doing it with urgency, God knows. Whichever way you are doing it, He said, I know. No, it's not guessing. So when we are lukewarm, He knows. When we are very active, He knows. So the kind of service we render has a resonation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And know that there is a cause, as pronounced in Jeremiah 14:10, that cause is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cause is he who keeps back his sword from the blood, from blood. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Let's see. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 10. It says, cause is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cause is he who keeps back his sword from blood. So if you are not putting in the efforts, if you are not pushing to the limit, if you are not working to the maximum possible capacity, God knows. But he also says that if you are not doing it right, it's a cause for that person. If you remember the story of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, of the walls of Jerusalem that was pioneered, that was spearheaded by Nehemiah, if you go to chapter 3, there's a record of the work that was being done by each family, by each segment. You know, they were handling particular portions of the wall. But there is a sentence in verse 5 of chapter 3, as recorded in Nehemiah. It says, next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. And look at the next part. It says, but their nobles did not put their shoulders in the work of their Lord. They did not put in their best. So there is a record of what you are doing. And God is taking note. And I pray that when God takes a record for us, it will be something that we'll be proud of in the name of Jesus. So we must pursue excellence as a duty. We must not act as if we are doing God a favor. Many times we act as if we are doing God a favor with our conduct. Or remember, in Luke 17:10, it said, tell them, so likewise you, Jesus Christ is speaking here, when you have done all those things you have commanded, say, well, possible, unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. So let's have it at the back of our minds. Now, when we are doing it, there's a record. God is taking notes, but more importantly, we must do it as if we are doing God a favor. We're not doing God a favor when we do it well. We're not doing God a favor when we put in the best of our efforts. So let us put that at the back of our mind. And finally, number five. Every work that we do as Christian ministers, as servants of God, as workers in His vineyard, will be tested. It's not just the result, but the way it was done. The motives, the efforts we have put in, all of those things will be tested. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to verse. It's a few verses, but let's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, And another builds on it. Look at the next sentence. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. So let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So, if you put in efforts of gold, it will be declared. If you put in efforts of wood, it will be declared. If you put in efforts of silver, it will be declared. If you put in efforts of air, it will be declared. And if your effort is precious stone, it will be declared. And if it is strong, it will be declared. So don't let us deceive ourselves. Our work will be tested. He says in that verse, says, fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So we will know the kind of work we are doing. Even if the pastor now doesn't know, if the GO doesn't know, God knows. And that work will be tested in future. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, after the testing, he will receive a reward. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, what we are saying is this, that the work we are doing, not just that it will get results, but it will be tested and we'll know what kind of work it is. So it is not just the result we are looking at. Oh, it's not just the result. How did you arrive at the result? How did you get to that point where you have achieved? If it is just the result we are looking at, those who are using crooked means to populate their church, oh, they will get the best result. They will get the biggest crown. You know, there are churches where people do all sorts of things to attract crowd, burying cows under the altar and burying human beings under the altar. You know, when these things are getting results, people will be coming in large numbers. That's the purpose. Okay, but are they building for God? Are they building for Christ? So let us ask ourselves, what kind of work are we putting in? I know we are not doing that in Christ, but what I'm saying is this. If our work is not done with the right motive and the right method, then the work is not getting any reward. You may be getting results, but there will be no reward. Job chapter 23, verse 10 says, he knows my way. He knows my way. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. It says, he knows my way. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Can you make the same boast as Job said? Are you confident that when God tests your work with fire, you shall come forth gold? So let's look at what are the areas of excellence in Christian service. Let me quickly summarize that. That the pursuit of excellence must be a habit that encompasses all areas of our life, of our service, not just one aspect. It must be every area. It must be the pursuit of a lifetime. It must be a habit. It must be a passion. It's a commitment that must be continually renewed, not just this week, not just next week, but at all times. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Like I said, it must be in every area. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Paul to the Corinthians says, but since you excel in everything, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. He says, you excel in everything, everything. And then you must also excel in the grace of giving. Usually we use this verse when we are teaching about giving. But he says that the excellence of the Corinthians was in everything. And he broke it down in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love. So, if we want to break it down, it shows that it is not just in one area, but it is in every area of Christian service that we will be excellent. So, when we say you are excellent, it should not be just one aspect. It should be everywhere. And Paul specifically mentioned faith. 1 Peter 3:15. You can just write it down. And it says, in living to please God, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and love for the brethren. And it capped it up by saying giving. So when we talk about excellence in Christian service, we are looking at a totality, a total package in which all the service you render is excellent. Your giving is excellent. Your speech is excellent. Your faith, your display of faith is excellent. Your relationship with the brethren is excellent. Love for the brethren is excellent. So every area, that is the kind of excellent service that will promote the growth of the church, of the ministry. So, final part, which is the bulk of our presentation. How do you serve God with excellence? What are the steps to excellence in Christian service? If you're in this meeting, if you're a worker, whether you are here physically, or you are joining your church in outstations through the live streaming, you are expected to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That we expect you to be serving God. So, but we also expect that we serve with excellence. Okay? Not just doing it ordinarily. I've laid the foundation for this, that it must be done with excellence. We've established why we must serve with excellence. The question is, how do we serve God with excellence? I'll give us seven and we pray. Number one, if you want to serve God with excellence, you must embrace excellence in all areas of your life's pursuits. All areas of your life's pursuits. Excellence in ministry, in Christian service, requires an excellent spirit in every area. You must determine to have a life that is drawn with excellence in every ramification. You must first determine to have excellence in your own conduct, your own life. Your personal life must be excellent. You cannot have an excellent ministry when your personal life is wobbly. You cannot have an excellent ministry when your personal life is mediocre. You cannot have an excellent ministry when your career is mediocre. These things follow. As a pastor of a church, every part of your church should operate with excellence. You cannot demand excellence from your congregation, of your staff, of your workers, if you yourself are not serving with excellence. You cannot demand what you don't give yourself. So if you want excellence from your congregation, from your workers, from your staff, then you yourself must be excellent in your own conduct. So in your career, your personal career, you must serve with excellence. You must strive for excellence. You cannot have a sloppy life and have an excellent ministry. And I want to plead with us. We should embrace excellence in little things as well as in big things. You know, I remember the story that the GO told us some time ago when he was visiting the Kellys in the United States. And he had to fix the toilet bowl, and they had to do the, and he said, oh, this is okay. He said, no, it must be perfect. It must be perfect. There's nothing like almost. No. You must strive for excellence in big things, and in little, nothing should escape your sight, in your church, in your work, in your ministry. As a unique leader, As a worker, any area you are, embrace excellence. But that excellence comes when we have been excellent in other areas of our lives. I'm always appalled at the way some professionals and artisans in the ministry, how they carry out the work they do for the ministry, for which the church is paying them. Even if you are doing it for free, let excellence be your watchword and style. Let's associate you with excellence in every area. If it is Michelangelo or Judo or Michael, he will do it very well. And you see, the tendency to do sloppy work for the church is a common trend in the Christendom. And many times we are forced to patronize outsiders because our own people have disappointed. Sometimes we patronize non-Christians. You ask our people to do tithes, they don't do it well, you ask them to do anything. And then you see excellence in other people. So let us be excellent in our delivery. When our artisans, our professionals, when they deliver poor quality job to us as a church or as a ministry, I sometimes wonder if it is their trademark or it is just that they are taking the ministry for granted. So I beg you, it is not just to collect the money, but also do the work and do it very well. If you are having difficulties of delivering excellent service, let's build our capacity or move on to other areas so we can deliver quality service. It is a tragedy, I will tell us, when outsiders come to report our members to their pastor for defrauding them with poor quality service. It's even worse when pastors are reported to the GO or outsiders make mockery of our pastor. Pastor George Jimani, the manager to chef me. And unfortunately, this thing follows. Because when you do government work sloppily, by the time you are doing your own, it will be sloppy. You are not able to improve. It will come. So let's learn to render excellent service, not just in the church, but in our lives generally. We should not make excuses for sloppiness. We should not make any excuse for poor quality of service delivery associated with your life and ministry. I beg us, let excellence pervade your life holistically and not just one area. So if you want to be excellent in Christian service, you must be excellent in all areas of your life. Number two, if you want to serve God with excellence, you want to pursue excellence in Christian service, number two, you must learn to look to the word of God day and night and live by it. To achieve excellence in ministry, look to the word of God. Day and night, it will guide you and keep you on the road to excellence. It will keep you from turning to the right or to the left, or using worldly wisdom to determine the path of your ministry. Joshua 1:8, you are familiar with it. Say, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth. We shall meditate in it day and night, and observe to do according to what is written in. And what is the next sentence? For then you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. Excellence is having good success. To have good success, then learn to stick by the word of God. The word of God stands for excellence in all things. Exalt the word in your life and ministry. Let it do the work for you. If there is a problem, apply God's words, God's wisdom to it. Speak and act only on the word of God. If there's any doubt about which direction you should be headed to at any area, in any area of your ministry, at any point, look to the word of God to give you direction. When you put the word of God first, everything else will take care of itself. I remember that phrase, that sentence made by Archbishop Onibere when he came to the church. He said, you obey God. Obey the word of God. Obey God and leave the matters arising to him. You first obey God and let God handle the consequence. So you use the word of God to solve the problem and see how it will work for you. Number three, if you want to serve God with excellence, labor. Labor. In fact, I wasn't sure whether to make this the first or not. But labor is very, very important. First Corinthians chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. First Corinthians 15, 10. That is Paul speaking to writing about his service. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Children of God, there is grace, but there's also labor. There's grace and there's labor. You cannot excuse one or take one and leave the other. If you want to be excellent in Christian service, there is grace available for you, but there is also labor to be the grace work. Apostle Paul is really the one who pursued excellence most after our Lord Jesus Christ in Christian service. I mean, if you look at the New Testament, if you look at the kind of work that people did after Jesus Christ, I think Paul would be number one. He wrote half of the New Testament. He acknowledged, given the source, he acknowledged that grace was at the heart of his sources. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." By then, he affirmed that grace of God upon him was not in vain, but he labored more than all the others combined. So, I labored more than they all. So, it's not just enough to have grace or pray for grace. If you want to be excellent. You know, when we look around as successful Christian leaders today, contemporary times, we can see grace in superabundance. But we can also acknowledge that these are all hardworking people. Kai, they're hardworking. Look at Adadijio. Look at Pastor Adeboye. Look at Pastor Kumi. Look at Bishop Oyedepo. Look at Pastor Mata Shimolo. Look at the late Ryan Bonke. These people worked. They are working. Ryan Bonke was still going on crusade till he died. I think his last crusade was also in Nigeria. These people are demonstrating excellence, or were demonstrating excellence, like the case of their book, but they were also working very hard. Working hard in things you can see and things you cannot see. Things you cannot see. Take for instance, I was at a program that Pastor Shimolo spoke. At that time, I can't remember the exact number. You know, I said 3,000 or 5,000. I preached about 5,000 sermons and he had never repeated himself once. Do you think it's easy to write a sermon? So, and you look at the man's sources. You can look at his life. Look at his businesses. Look at his institution. Look at his general life. You can see excellence. So, it's an all-round thing. And at the same time, it requires a lot of what? Labor. Whatever service is committed to your hands, please don't take it with levity. Work hard. Don't come to the pulpit unprepared, asking the Holy Spirit to take control. Take control of what? You know, it is when you are prepared that the Holy Spirit takes control. Take control. And it takes it beyond your preparation. That is when the Holy Spirit takes control. I'm sure you remember the point about Pastor Mrs. Ajite, Dr. Bukola Ajite, that she had a message of 45 minutes to preach, fasted for 1 week. That is labor. Spiritual labor. So whatever we are asked to do, we must do it with excellence. We must work hard at it. Paul asked Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed." You have to be a workman. A workman, somebody working, that is laboring. In Christian service, in the work of the kingdom. He said, "The instant is season and out of season." That's 2 Timothy 4:2. Be instant in season and out of season. At all times be ready. That means that you are constantly working. When it comes to Christian service, please don't embrace the concept of work smart, not work hard. No, this all this current fad. Say, oh, no, not work hard. I mean, work smart. Yes, work smart. But in Christian service, you must work hard. I always say it. Must work hard. Read hard. Study hard. Pray hard. Intercede hard. Evangelize hard. Labor in evangelism. You don't have to be the GO to labor. You don't have to be the leader. You must know how to reduce. In fact, you must know how to reduce the body of your leaders. That's part of labor. Many of us here must have read the story of Mamanu Fufuna and a singular commitment to following up on new members and converts and see the reward, see the results. When we get to heaven, we shall see many wonders. I've also shared my experience at one time or the other with Brother Yinkomole, who followed me up when I joined Christway Fellowship, 1992, August 92. If I'm a member of Christway Ministries today, it has both to do with God's purpose for my life and the relentless follow-up carried out by Brother Yinkomole. If I'm a pastor today, it's because somebody like Brother Jidigbade Geshin, now DGO missions, will not allow me to let me be. Don't allow me to rest. Brashola, you must come for workers' meeting. Brashola, you must come for workers' meeting. Yeah, you are now setting up. You must be working for God. These people made sure I was doing something. They insisted I must be a worker. So if I'm a pastor now, I didn't jump. It's because some people were there laboring to ensure that I commit. And if by any chance, I'm considered a leader today in the ministry, it is because Pastor Mike Ajayi invested in my growth and development as an assistant under him. All of these people were not the GO, but in their own ways, they lightened the body of the GO in watching over this single member. And the GO did not have to worry about people like me because some people were laboring in their own corners, laboring hard in their own corners to get results. I pray that you'll be getting results that will transcend your efforts in Jesus' name. I ask myself regularly, who can point to me as an influence, direct or indirect, in the remaining members of this ministry or in their growth and development as Christians? I certainly hope there are one or two, because I must not go home an empty-handed. And by the grace of God, all of us will not go home empty-handed in Jesus' name. Laboring is pursuing. It is working, pursuing. And it comes in different forms. But it is a critical ingredient for excellence in Christian science. I have to emphasize this because I know that no matter the level of grace that you have upon you, without labor, you are going to frustrate that grace. We may not be able to do everything. It's not possible. We cannot do everything anyway. But you should be able to say that that songwriter who wrote Ofekin Dabi Jesu, verse 4, he says, Ofekin Dabi Jesu. So ninu ise rere kale we ni patemi pe se what. Forgive my voice. The question I want to ask you is this: are you sharing what only she? Chom she what only she? Or are you regularly giving excuses? We must do that which God has given us the ability to do. Must work hard. That is the secret of excellence in Christian service. Number 4, rely on and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The path to excellence in life and ministry is always the same. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Human mind likes to do a lot of its own planning. It wants to do it its own way. But if you lean on your own understanding, as you know, it's only a matter of time for you. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. I'm sure you know it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You want God to direct your path to excellence? Trust in the Lord. If you want God to make your work successful, trust in the Lord. Acknowledge Him. Don't, you know, man is full of his own self-wisdom, doing it his own way. God is the one who has called you into a particular ministry. And he fully intends to lead you into excellence. Success and a life beyond what you ever imagine on your own. You see, when God gives you an assignment, he is also going to equip you with what you need to succeed and do it very well. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit. He has given you the Holy Spirit to guide you. He has given you the Holy Spirit to instruct you. He has given you the Holy Spirit to keep you on the path to excellence. Depend on Him. Rely on Him. Follow Him. Learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit within you. And you'll find yourself equal with the answer to any challenge that will come your way. There will be challenges, quite all right. But when the Holy Spirit is the one leading you, you can't miss it. Number five, build your capacity for excellence in service. You know, pursuit of excellence is like a long-distance race. You must build your stamina. If you have built your stamina to run 1 mile, running 100 meters will not be difficult for you. Oh, mommy, hele, hele. You must build your capacity for excellence in service. As a Christian worker who is pursuing excellence, you must build up yourself through various capacity building activities. You must learn not to limit yourself to routine Sunday worship and maybe Bible study, no matter how faithful, how religiously you attend them. If all you limit yourself to is Sunday and Wednesday, you are no different from the other members. To manifest excellence, you must put in the extra efforts. Build your capacity. Attend trainings, attend conferences, attend workshops, buy Christian books, buy developing literature, buy books on leadership, read books on leadership, read books on church growth, read books on all areas of leadership in the ministry. That is how to build this. And go and continually read books that will enhance your understanding. So that when you stand in front of the people, there's something extra that you have that they don't have yet, which you want to pop into them through the grace of the Holy Spirit in you. Be like the Berean Christians who are always going back home to find out if this is possible. Are you going out of your way to go beyond what is dumped into your arms? Excellence does not jump on anybody. It must be cultivated. You must work at, you must invest. And to cultivate excellence, you must invest in capacity building. Buy books, it costs money. Traveling to attend conferences costs money. Traveling to attend trainings costs money. But I will say this, if the first set of Christian leaders, of the leaders of this ministry, had not attended the Church Growth Conference in 1992, we probably would not have passed a church today, because that was where they received that motivation that confirmed that for the work to progress, they must start a church. There are things you will learn. There are things that will come to you when you go for trainings and conferences. I pray we shall all be built up for excellent service in Jesus' name. Number six, be dedicated to excellence in ministry. A ministry of excellence is a ministry that does not plan to fail. You don't make room for failure. Whatever you are called to do, pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, chorister, or any other role in the body of Christ, sanctuary keeper, usher, you are responsible for how you are handling your calling. And you are going to keep an account. To do that very well, you must be dedicated to excellence in every area of your ministry and dedicated to success. You must dedicate yourself, make it a passion, make it part of you. God has provided the grace and the power, furnished the weapons, and equipped you with everything you need to fulfill your calling. Your part is to make a decision to be dedicated to your calling. A decision to pursue and maintain excellence. So that dedication will drive you, will help you, will sustain you as you go on. Finally, spend time fasting and praying. Spend time fasting and praying to keep in tune with the Holy Spirit in your ministry. Spend time fasting and praying. The spiritual practice of fasting will help you hear from God and keep your flesh in line. Fasting helps us to hear from God. God is always speaking to us, but sometimes we're not hearing. Now, fasting is a tool that puts us in position to be spiritually aware and tuned in to God. Anyone who desires excellent ministry continually sees God in direction and in fasting and prayer. So, fasting is not for you to get something from God. It's for you to be in tune with God. When you are fasting and you are in a position to hear from God, you receive guidance for specific situations. If you want to pursue excellence in your Christian service, spend time fasting and submitting your ministry to the leading of the Lord. This will help us ensure excellence in ministry every step of the way. In closing, as Christian workers and leaders, all things must be done with excellence. Let us not produce anything that does not bring glory to God. Let's make sure what we do, the people we are marked by excellence for the glory of God. Excellence in who we are, excellence in what we do. Excellence in our communication, excellence in our relationship, excellence in everything we do as we pursue Christian service. Any work that has been given to you, put in your best. Work hard, labor, study. We may never attain the perfection of Jesus Christ, but we should constantly strive, never give up, and we always ask for the grace to be excellent like our Father Master. You know, that verse, that song, if I can be Jesus, I'll go back to it. The last verse says, Shunan ko da bije, su o si hon bang babe, Jesu fun mi lo re o fe shi mi kinda. Our prayer tonight should be that Jesus will grant us the grace to be like him. And like Paul, we will ensure that that grace, when it's bestowed on us, shall not be in vain, but we labor more abundantly than all others, so that we can serve in the service of the kingdom. We shall not be found wanting in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Our Father and God, we like to bless you for the way you have spoken with us. Father, we ask that you give us hearts of understanding and ask that you expand these words in the hearts of your children, and we shall be able to run with it, to make us better workers, excellent workers in your vineyard, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank and bless your name. As we continue this program, continue with us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you.